Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
When I get on a plane, if I see people who are in Muslim garb, and I think, you know, they're identifying themselves first and foremost as Muslims, I get worried. I get nervous.
Juan feels the way he feels. That is not for me to pass judgment on. His feelings that he expressed on Fox News are really between him and his psychiatrist or his publicist or take your pick.
Right now, the whole world is watching Crystal Cathedral, and that, again, gives us an opportunity to show that God is a big, mighty, provisional God.
I'm reminded of great prophet Jeremiah, who did not have a Crystal Cathedral. He did not have much of a following. People didn't like him, but yet he was one of the Lord's great servants of the Word.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues Etc.
They expect big things next week. I think traditionally, most of us who watch politics, either intently or casually, understand that the midterm elections are usually kind of a check and a balance in and of themselves, a time for the electorate to kind of check in on the president and what he wants to do and express it, not directly by either electing or unelecting him, but by dealing with the other branches of government, namely the legislative branch of government. No one expects next week's midterm elections to be anything other than that. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll kick off today's show talking to Mark Hemingway of the Washington Examiner about midterm elections, next week's midterm elections. Then we'll continue our series on apparent contradictions in the Bible, talking to Dr. Jeff Kloa of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis about the varying, or some would say, the varying accounts of the resurrection of Christ. Our call-in number live this Tuesday afternoon, October the 26th, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address, @issuesetc, or our Facebook fan page, where you can leave a question or comment for Dr. Jeff Kloa on the apparent contradictions in the resurrection accounts for Christ, facebook.com/issuesetc. Mark Hemingway is a regular guest. He's commentary staff writer for the Washington Examiner. Mark, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, glad to be back.
Generally speaking, what role has religion played or is expected to play in these midterm elections?
Well, you know, it's hard to say, you know, what role religion plays in an individual race, because each race has its own dynamics. But that said, I mean, I think what we're seeing here is we're seeing, you know, the reaffirmation of the fact that this is a center-right country, and to a large extent that this is a very religious and broadly Christian country. And we've seen a lot of different, you know, individual races and stuff where these things have been an issue. I mean, for instance, you know, Kentucky, it's amazing. We're seeing, you know, a doctrinaire liberal, Jack Conway, attacking his Republican opponent as not being sufficiently religious. I mean, this is a real shift in the conservative liberal religious dynamic. I mean, in this election, we're seeing religion put out there, you know, front and center as something that is, you know, agreed upon sort of by all sides, that America has a religious, you know, character to it.
Where are the question marks at this point when it comes to predicting what may happen next week during the midterms? Where are the question marks, House or Senate? Which is more harder to predict?
Well, the Senate is going to be much harder to predict. There's a lot of reasons for that, but basically, you know, I would say, you know, the consensus is emerging that you're probably going to see around 50 to 60 seats gained by Republicans in Congress, and then in the Senate, the question is probably anywhere from about, you know, 7 to 10, or possibly 11, in a crazy, you know, big wave scenario for Republicans gained in the Senate. But the key there is that the Republicans have to gain 10 seats to get a majority. And the question is are they going to do that? As of now, that looks like it's a distinct possibility, but perhaps not the most likely possibility. Very competitive Senate races in, you know, Washington, Nevada, West Virginia, California, in Connecticut, just to name a few, where, you know, Republicans, you know, are likely to win in some of those states and are very narrowly behind in the others.
You have written recently about a local story here with regard to the Senate race having to do with anti-Catholicism rearing its ugly head. What's the story there, Mark?
Yeah, well, Russ Carnahan, who's, I believe it's Missouri's 3rd District, which is the southern suburbs in St. Louis there, he had a campaign worker that was working on his campaign who quit his campaign and has since launched this website basically accusing his opponent, Ed Martin. Martin used to work in the human rights office of the St. Louis Diocese, and this former campaign worker of Carnahan has launched this crazy website basically accusing accusing Martin of enabling the Catholic pedophilia scandal, and it's a nearly unreadable, you know, 8,000 word screed they put on this website, and it's really amazing to me that Carnahan would even engage in these kinds of tactics. I mean, if you look at the website, it's a really, really thin read of evidence here, and there's really nothing to it. And more than that, you know, obviously we know there's a lot of, you know, Catholics in that district, so I can't imagine that this, you know, gains widespread attention. It's going to be very good for Russ Carnahan. But then again, you know, Carnahan should be in a safe seat, and it's not a safe seat this year. Ed Martin has a lot of money on hand and is doing, is running a pretty decent campaign. So, you know, Carnahan feels threatened and is, you know, lashing out. More than that, he's buried in some scandals because his family, his politically connected family, appears to be getting rich off some stimulus contracts with $100 million or stimulus grants worth $100 million or more related to some wind farms that the family's involved in. So, if you're in the St. Louis area, you know, buckle up. That race could be interesting to watch.
Let's talk about a couple other races, in particular Senate races, West Virginia. What do we know there?
The polling in that state is wildly divergent. We're seeing polls that show Manchin, the governor, up, and we're seeing polls that show John Racey, who's a Republican businessman that is running against him, that have him up. And it's a really interesting race because what we're seeing is that Manchin is a governor is the current governor of West Virginia running for the Senate seat, and his approval rating has been in the high 60s, which is, you know, almost unheard of, you know, for a governor in this country, especially a Democratic governor right now. But yet he's in the fight of his life running for the Senate simply because voters in West Virginia really dislike National Democrats and Obama in particular. And if they associate Manchin, as much as they like him personally as a state politician, they associate Manchin with Obama on a national level, they really don't want to vote for him. So you end up with this race that should be, you know, a runaway for Manchin that ends up being, you know, a very, very close race. Now, the big story in West Virginia is that actually, I think it was just last night, Manchin administration has been under investigation by federal authorities, who issued a subpoena for him, subpoena for some various departments in his administration back in August, relating to some contracts to build some roads. Well, they issued a second round of subpoenas just last night. The Charleston Gazette ran with a banner headline, you know, more subpoenas, you know, for Manchin this morning, and that scandal could spill over and really hurt a Manchin on Election Day.
What's happening in the Senate race in Nevada?
What we're seeing here in the past few weeks is we're seeing sort of that race stabilize a little. I mean, it's still very close, but early turnout looked very good for Sharon Angle, the Tea Party Republican, and the latest polls confirmed that she's got, you know, I think the last one I saw showed that she had about a 4-point lead, which seems to be about what the consensus about where people think that race is. I mean, basically, Sharon Engel pulled that one out in the end. All the Las Vegas political observers pretty much agreed that she actually won the debate with Harry Reid that was televised, the only debate that they had in the campaign, which was kind of remarkable because the big story was that, you know, Sharon Engel was this unpolished amateur who was prone to saying wild things. And Reid really came off as dour and unlikable, and Sharon Engel, you know, won the debate. And she sort of proved herself to be a credible candidate, and that's all people need in this environment to vote against the, you know, incumbent Democrat, particularly when he's the Senate Majority Leader. So that is, you know, really shaping up good for Sharon Engel. And of course, Harry Reid has made a few gaffes of his own here in the past few weeks. In particular, he said that, you know, he, quote, saved the world or something to that effect regarding his vote for the financial bailout. And I don't think too many people appreciated that remark in his home state.
Two quick final questions. The Senate race in Illinois, and then I got one more for you, about 30 seconds on the Illinois race.
Okay, great. Well, Mark Kirk appears to have a slight edge in that state. You know, normally, you know, I think the institutional Democrat would have a benefit there, but, you know, his opponent is very weak and is mired in a lot of controversy involving his family bank and had made some loans to, you know, mob-connected investments in the past, and that's dragging him down.
Finally, then, with about 30 seconds, what early races should we be looking at to see a trend in next Tuesday's elections, Mark?
Well, the early races, would be basically, I think we're going to know whether the Republicans are going to take back the House before before we start even getting in returns west of the Mississippi. I mean, there's so many races up for grabs in Ohio and Pennsylvania, and I mean, there's a lot of key districts you could zero in on. But you know, I think if you just, you know, if things start quickly falling for Republicans in Ohio and Pennsylvania, then I think you'll have a pretty good sense that it's going to be a bad night for Democrats.
Mark Hemingway is commentary staff writer for the Washington Examiner and regular guest. You can read Mark's columns under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.